turn it on. Like that? There it is. Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me here. I've enjoyed it so far very much. And just in the last part, there were some of the brothers were giving their high points in the Christian life with their wife. One word came up very, very often, and that's communication. And that is both a joy and a very necessary thing in the Christian life, and in the marriage life in particular, and in the brotherhood in particular. You're going to find there's a lot of similarities to how we can function for the mutual benefit in a congregation and in a marriage. Some of the same principles are there. In fact, if you look like Ephesians and I think Colossians, maybe Peter, you'll find before they talk about the husband and wife, they talk about the qualities and some of the signs, some of the power that's given to the Christian and what the Christian should be. And it's really not different from what the man and the woman in a marriage should be. It's those enabling graces that God will give. And talking to Brother Allen just a little while ago, and we were talking about, we didn't come out and say it, I don't think specifically, but you know, we're just about as, if you want to use the word righteous, or holy, or God-like, or Christ-like, as we really want to be. Because he offers it, and he offers it all. Sometimes we only see one aspect of it, but if we turn from that, that's not the one I'm looking for. Well, that's God's timing. When he offers us something and gives us insights, his children should be reaching for it and bringing it in, and you'll find there's another one and another one. But if you shake your head, some of you have probably played baseball. You watch the catcher, and the catcher will go to the pitcher, throw him a curveball. Signal, and the pitcher will look at it. Sometimes he'll wind up and throw just what the catcher ordered. And sometimes he'll go, maybe the catcher will give him another sign, maybe he won't. But sometimes the Lord, I think, works with me that way. I don't know about you. He gives you an opportunity, and you see the opportunity, but it just kind of goes against our grain. And we, well, maybe later, maybe I'll think about it, but we miss an opportunity God's given us. Marriage, first of all, Elizabeth and I both came from divorced homes when we were young children and lived that way. So it's not an excuse for any failure you see in my life, but there wasn't any example. And that's one of the beautiful things, and I can hear it as you talk. You talk about your children, you talk about your family, and how you see that as your calling in your life and the blessing in your life. And that communicates. Little song, Somebody Follows You. You know that song. It's not just you. And it's not just your wife. And wife, it's not just your husband and you. When you have children, at least, they'll learn some things from that, won't they? Either negative or good. But anyways. Yeah, in Ephesians and at least Colossians, the things before it are just general Christian truths, admonitions to the church, and then it goes into the husband and wife. And you could sit here, I don't believe there's anybody sitting here that way, because I know the congregation pretty well, I think, at least the many of the brothers here, and we're Christians. So we should have the equipment that we need to do the things that are required in the Christian life to make it a blessing as a marriage. Without it, you can try and you can list them all, but you're going to find yourself striving and not attaining. but through Christ Jesus, redeeming our souls and opening our understanding and giving us a hunger for the things that He has for us. Those are the very things that's going to bless the couple. And without it, it's not going to happen. You may have a blessing here and a blessing there, but you're still going to be that person without God in their life, their sins still on their back, and trying to make something out of a marriage. But anyway, I'd like to just go, we'll start reading in Ephesians, start talking about it. I should have figured out a better way to start it, because it starts out, let's go in 5, where it, if you read from 5 down to 20, they're talking about walking in love. We're talking about what we should be doing, what we should be thinking, what we should consider, the way we should be ordering our life. And then it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That'd be a good one to start with on the marriage, wouldn't it? That's not really starting the marriage here. He's just talking about Christians. And he's not talking about to someone that you love and you want to live with for the rest of your life and says it's going to help if you submit one to another. He's talking to the congregation. He's talking to brothers and sisters. Say, you want it to flow? You want a good place to be and raise your family? You're going to have to learn to submit one to another. You're going to have to learn to listen. You're going to have to learn to communicate. You've probably heard preaching on communication. The one thing that gripped me in somebody's message, I don't even remember whose it was, but it talks about when there's something hard, you probably don't come across anything hard in your marriage, a situation where there's really a strain and we're just not being able to get hold of each other through it. I mean, I see it this way and she sees it that way, and we just don't seem to be able to get them to understand me. My wife just won't understand me at this point. Doesn't she see what I see? Or maybe Liz is thinking back, what's the matter with him? He just doesn't, you know, he doesn't understand. I want to try to get him to understand me. What we need to do, if you really want to be understood, the first thing you should do is try to put that down for a minute. Keep your finger on it if you want to. And then try to understand what that person's saying. I mean, in one way, it's really purely selfish. Because if you really want to get your point across, you have to understand why that other person doesn't like it. What's the matter, brother? Do you see something there? What is it? Well, I have a fear it's just not going to work out. Well, what do you fear? I mean, what do you see? Well, if we do this, then this will happen and that will happen. And you listen carefully. And when you're finished and you understand what they're saying, you don't have to say it's right. You don't have to say it's wrong. Just try to understand what the person's saying and reply to them so they understand you understand. Not just say, oh, that's stupid. Listen. And then when you're finished, you know just what points are important to them. And if you can address them and show them it can't work that way, this way or that way, you have a chance. The best way I can illustrate it, you know what demolition crews are? Well, yeah, you just get your bulldozer out, knock buildings down, push them in a gully somewhere and cover them up. But when you're in a city, you can't do that. They have these buildings that have to be dropped right where they are, not blown all over and have a lot of collateral damage where people get hurt by it and bricks are flying through the air. And do you know how they do that? They get to understand the building first. They take the plans out. They get engineers in there. They look where the beams are, where the stress points are. And it's an intricate process. I mean, they know where all the beams are. They know we're going to have to time some of these charges, varying the amount, varying the when it's going to blow. And we want these two beams blown at the bottom 2 seconds before we blow in the middle. And then 1 second after that, the top. And then they stand at a dynamite. You think, oh, they're going to kill people here. And they go, boom. They touch the switch and boom. And those beams kick out in the bottom. And then boom. The top, boom. And it comes right down. And simply because they studied it. They understood that building and they knew just what was supporting it. They knew just where they were. And they knew if they take them out this way and then take them in this way, it's going to implode. It's just going to come down. A very carnal explanation. But you can do that thing with people that you love or that you want to work with and be with, like a congregation. People have real ideas. They're just not, they're not being counter to you because they hate you or because they want to run off and ruin the congregation. You just listen. Honey, why do you say that? Now, I've made problems for my wife because sometimes I'll think of something and be thinking something in my mind about maybe doing this, maybe buying this, and then we can do this with it. And I have the luxury of just thinking about that and then not sharing it with Liz, not because I'm trying to keep anything from her. I'm just kind of working something out in my mind. This might go on for a week. Longer, maybe it's over a period of a long time. And then one day I'll come in and say, hey Liz, you know what I think we ought to do? I've been thinking about this. We ought to sell this and get that. And, you know, it would really work out. And Liz, their eyes glaze, you know, and she's like, honey, what, you know, and she's, and I'm, why are you against it? What? Well, it's like running past her 60 miles an hour and holding your hand out and saying, come on. Well, she's not up to speed. What you have to do is sit and talk, and it's okay to think about things, but when you present it, try to say, honey, sit down just a minute. You know, so I've been thinking the possibility of maybe selling this and buying this. What do you think of it? Think of it. Why, we just moved here 2 years ago, or we just did that, you know, and it, oh, you know, all these things. And say, well, yeah, but do you see what I'm talking about the figures? And you know what I'm saying? You start to share. And you say, well, what are you afraid of about it? Well, what do you see would be the problem with it? You say, well, I'm not sure there is. Or can't you see the problem, Joe? I mean, that's kind of insane doing something like that. But yeah, well, in what point is it? You know what I'm trying to say? You shouldn't do that kind of thing to begin with. I mean, you should kick them up to speed if you have a big, great idea. Get them in at the beginning. But when you just surprise them and say, hey, I just made my mind up. What we ought to do is change the business and do this and go over there. And, of course, she's not up to speed. So you have a problem with communication. But there's still a way of communicating there. Try to listen and try to understand. And if your plan is so great, you shouldn't have any problem saying, oh, on this point, honey, this would work. I don't see that. So let's talk about it. What do you think would happen if we did this? And why is that? You kind of get the idea. But anyway, that's something about communication. Submitting yourselves one to another. Next verse, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. One of the key words there, thank God I haven't had the experience with Liz that she would do that. Say, well, Judy's husband does this and does that, and Frank's husband does this and that. Say, well, you're not called to submit under them. You're called to submit to the one you have. You could talk about things you'd like to see, ladies, but please don't preface it with, like my friend's husband does. Just say, you know what might be nice if we would do this sometime. And then talk about how you would feel about that. that would really be a relaxation for me, or whatever it would be. But when you preface it with, like Judy's husband does, the communication kind of tends to cave in a little bit. So, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And don't think that, you know, well, if he was like this other brother, like this other husband over here, that would be easy to submit to. Well, submitting isn't easy to begin with, is it? Submission isn't there's a difference between agreement and submission, if you know what it is. Sometimes you need to submit to be able to agree. Right? So there's a little difference there. When it's there, you'll know what it is. Oh, I'd like to answer the question, too, that some of the brothers were answering. What do you like to do together? I was thinking about that. There's a lot of things I like to do with Liz. But you know one of the nicest ones? Just growing old together with her. We're married now 58 years, going through a lot of things, and she was always right there. She's always right there. Still right there. Now, I don't know what the future holds for us. Well, I do, really, in time. But, you know, we're getting older, forgetful. Please forgive me, brothers, too. I come around, I look at, I'll know your face. Some of them I don't. But names, it's a mess. Very embarrassing. Say, well, next year, if we come up with us, well, we wear name tags. That doesn't help. Because I walk up and I say, hey, how you doing, brother? And then you look at the name tag, and the game's over. Say, what's the matter? Don't you remember my name? But nobody does that. But husband and wife. In a way, really, to stand before husbands and wives and tell them things and make applications, we do it. I think we should keep doing it. But in the back of my mind, I keep saying, you know, I already know that in my conscience and in the back of my heart and my spirit, I already know that. It's good to have those things kind of jogged up, but we take a look at, hey, we're making really good headway in that, or, you know, I've lost sight of that thing. But you already know. We could go down the tables and say, what do you think would be the one thing that you could do that your wife would really appreciate? You know, oh, yeah, I think I know that one. Well, go ahead and do it. But you listen to the things as we go by. We already know that wives should submit to their husbands. And husbands, what example does God give to us in His Word of how we should love our wife? You know it, see? Look, they're all going, I know. Who would like to tell us? What comparison does God make, or the ideal that God puts out for us to love our wives?
As Christ loved the church.
As Christ loved the church. Where could you get a more perfect example? Right? How long could you talk just on that? Even if you've only been a Christian for 15 minutes, you understand what his feeling is for his church, for his body, what he expects from it, the work he wants it to do, more than what he did when he was here. And I'm not talking about miraculous. I am talking about miraculous. I'm talking about a group of people that experienced salvation, been lifted out of darkness into his marvelous light, and are free before God. Their sins are washed. They've been given the Spirit of God. What do you think He wants them to do? He wants you to go out and work so that others experience the same thing. And that His body is strong and cohesive and can work together and get things done that way. But what a picture if we would just take that and really meditate on it. I mean, it just makes you quake when you think, okay, let's take it into the husband and wife. To love your wife the way that Christ loved the church. and gave himself for. That should give you a pretty good clue right there. And gave himself for, that they might have life. What a beautiful example we have. If we go by the quality of the of what we're to compare ourselves with as we find our way through as a husband, you couldn't get a, I can't think of a more powerful example. Now we'll talk to the wives. The wives are to be subject to their husbands as what? Do they have an example to hold before themselves? Yes? No? Tell me what it is. Pardon me? Yeah. I always thought that maybe when they were writing it, they might have changed it to, or if you're going to rewrite it, you would write it as the church should be to Christ. That would be a good example for the ladies. As the church should be subject to Christ, the wife should be subject to the husband. Well, we know how the church should be subject to Christ, don't we? But he doesn't say that. He says, as. Maybe that's why there's some confusion in that area for ladies. Where you see homes where that isn't taking place. Wouldn't it be something if they would be honest or maybe say, well, I looked at the Bible for a good example like there is for you. Even as Christ loved the church. But for me, it says to be subject the way the church is to Christ. Look around. Look around, and what do you see? Is it really? Is that taken really seriously? Now, you brethren here, I believe it would be a good example. It's not so everywhere. But consider that. The women's example today is one of, well, these people are doing it, and we call them Christians too, so we ought to be able to do that too. And a wife may look at that and say, is that how you would like me to submit? Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. All right, so let's make sure our congregation is subject to Christ, like the church is subject. Let's make sure we can't control the, quote, church, but we can help each other within the congregation to be faithful to what God's showing us. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. There's that own husband again. In everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What does that mean? That he gives the church their way all the time? No, but he gave himself to ransom the church, didn't he? Yeah. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I wonder what that means. What's a spot in a church? Or a wrinkle? Or any such thing? And how does that communicate to us as a church? Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We're striving to be exactly what you want us to be. And in our homes. Yeah, we want our relationship to be exactly what Christ wants it to be. Exactly. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. Now, I can't explain that verse to you. I don't really know what it means. But I do know how we want to care for ourselves. We don't inflict pain upon ourselves unnecessarily. We usually try to make sure that we eat well. We try to make sure that we're taken care of. We're comfortable. And that's fine. But don't you think that we should look at our marriage and understand there's two people in the marriage and they both need to be comfortable, or you're not going to be comfortable, or the woman's not going to be comfortable? Do you follow the thought? Is it selfishness? No, but it's common sense. How can I be content? How can I be fulfilled when I've given my life to my wife for life, and she's given herself to me for life? If I'm upsetting her and she's upsetting me, and we're pushing for this and I'm pushing for that, and how content are you going to be? We know we're out of order. We know that's not God's order for us. We need to minister to one another. You know these general things. You know if you're feeling, I don't know, down or sorry for yourself. Maybe you don't feel sorry for yourself. I do for myself sometimes. One of the quickest ways out is let that self go and start maybe ministering to your wife or ministering to others. Get concerned about things that are going on around you. And you find that you lift yourself out of yourself and also with the things that are troubling you. And then when you experience that blessing of being of service to others or blessing others, you find when you look back at yourself that you've been blessed right along with them. But when you just want things for me, you'll find any kind of reaching out is, that's going out of me. That's going to take my time, or that's going to take my money, or it's going to take my spiritual energy. That's where God wants that to go. And as you let it go out, there's going to something come back in that is much more valuable for you when you're serving the Lord and you know that you are. Am I kind of missing you? Okay, good. Because sometimes I say a lot of words and so ought to men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That sounds very selfish. But that's what God's promising us. You want to be complete? Well, you've been made one flesh with her or him. I can't give you a big theological lecture on what all that means. But somehow, when we've done that, we're a unit. We're a unit. If we're content, if only one of us is content, that unit's not thriving. If both are content, both are being fulfilled, that's a blessing. And that's a power, too. Well, Liz and I have been married 58 years, like I've said, and we've been through some very rough spots. 17 of those years were unconverted. And not in the Amish or Mennonite, where at least there's a fear of God. I was just sharing this with, I think, Laverne, but I'll share it with you. I'd like to share it because I've seen some things that should not be, I think. People come from a plain background. Okay, Amish. What are you, Amish? You're off. I mean, man, you're off. And all the word of Mennonites, they're just off. They don't have the truth. Don't say that they got one truth. If you came out of the old order Mennonite or Amish, you came out, I haven't met ones that was otherwise, and it could be, most of them, I'll say, the vast majority, come out at least believing there is a God and that they're accountable to Him. I'll tell you something. If I were you, I would take a walk back to that old setting and say, I just came back and I wanted to thank you so much even though I don't agree with your final answers or how you're groping around. But I want to thank you for so much that I came out of that setting believing there was a God and He was a God to be feared. Because of that, I'm where I am. Thank you so much. And leave it at that. No? Everybody's kind of staring at me like a calf in a new gate. Where is that going to lead? But anyways, that's my... The reason is I have an appreciation for that because I did not believe in God. I would not have argued there was a God, and I wouldn't have argued there wasn't a God. I was what you call an agnostic. Very comfortable place to be, fits me to a T, just lazy. You know, you don't have to prove there is, you don't have to prove there isn't, you're safe. You know, if there's a God, He's off somewhere doing what gods do. He's not bothering me and I'm not bothering Him. You know, because it isn't real. But you people, most of the ones here have come out believing there is a God. And what do I got to do? What do I have to do? And you found out what you have to do. You've got to humble your heart, repent, and open your arms and say, Lord God, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, please take over my life. And then you'll see, there's a little verse in the Bible in Corinthians 11, verse 6 or 7. It says, He that cometh to God, which by the way would be that kind of person, and also everyone here, he that cometh to God must believe that He is and be assured of one other truth about Him, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's nothing He'd like better than to have homes, husbands and wives who are one. You're going to have pressures and it's going to start to slip. That's the time to do what you were talking about, communication. Yeah. Make sure it's one. All right. Yeah, it is. What is love? Describe it for me. Not what it does, just describe love. What is that? That's what I say. Exactly. You know? What do you mean? You know, describe love. Well, describe anger. I think I could do a better job on that. But love, it's very hard to describe, but you don't have any problem telling what love will do, do you? Just make a situation up and put love in one person or love in both, and you clearly see what's going to happen. We do love each other. Husband and wife, love each other. Then what do you think would be done if you loved each other? Well, I'm just taking a step back from it right now because I want to prove a point. That's not what we do. We communicate and we try to find out where the other person really is and what they're really looking at. Okay. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. There's another as. There's another comparison. Is that true? Is that how you take care of yourself? Even as Christ takes care of the church? Unfortunately, I would say, yeah, I think that's pretty true. I like to get taken care of. But then remember that you're not a unit anymore. It isn't just you that counts. There's something bigger than that. There's two people joined together as one. And we can't insist that we always get it our way according to our understanding. We need to look at the good of Elizabeth and Joseph. That's an entity. That's a one thing. Very much like this congregation right here. One person has to do more than please one or two people or three people or four people or five people or half. We need to work together with each other because we know if it starts to grind and shake and chatter and the teeth are out of sync, there's going to be damage. Like you talk about taking down the building, there's going to be collateral damage. It's not just going to be the gears, it's going to be the clutch. Not just the clutch, it's going to burn up the engine. Am I making any kind of sense to you? I don't know that I am. Okay. I know this isn't normal type of husband-wife thing, but we're not normal husbands and wives. We're all individuals. I mean, it's just like your fingerprints. It's just one of the little swirly things. Surely, in a place like this with 60 people or 70 people or whatever it is, surely we could find a match. You can find a match. I wouldn't call him a scientist. I think he'd be a little simple. He says, there's no two snowflakes exactly alike. Well, I'm not going to argue with him. I don't know. But I tell you, he'd have a very, very hard time proving that, I would think. Wouldn't you? And if you read about reasoning, you know, and faulty logic, that's about the epitome of faulty logic. Now, he could say, I've done quite a bit of research, and I haven't found it. Well, that's possible. But that there's no snowflake that's exactly alike. Well, nobody's going to be able to refute him. You haven't found two alike, have you? And neither is he. So that's faulty reasoning. Okay. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You see how he's kind of mixing in the church, even with, he'll go back and say that. Yeah, this is a great mystery, but I speak of the church. And he's saying there is a great similarity between a marriage, husband and wife, and the church and how it functions. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Shall be joined. It's like to glue. Do any of you make furniture here? Does anybody make furniture or anything like that? Somebody back there? Okay. Well, you know what gluing together does. Somebody said that when you plane it, I guess you don't call it plane it, but when you side it or whatever it is, and you glue it and you clamp them together, if you would break that, it won't break at the joint. Is that true? If it's done right. Huh? Yeah, okay. Well, we're joined together. Be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And it needs to be strong enough. That it's not, that joint isn't going to bend. That isn't going to break. The person will break first. The only separation Elizabeth and I are going to have is when one of us goes home. Which may not be that far away. For the Lord may come or we may go to meet him. Nevertheless, let every one of you, even though we're talking about the church and mixing it together, nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's Ephesians. We'd like to also look at Colossians, if you turn back there with me. Colossians 3. I'd like to read, I'm going to, just bear with me, I'm just going to read some to show you what I'm, no, I can't do that. Okay, Colossians, it starts talking to the wives again in 18. But from 3 on down, it's talking about the Christian life. It's talking about the Christian. And then he gives you a responsibility. And if you just break in and say, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as is fit in the Lord. There's an obligation for you. You say, oh, how am I going to do all that kind of stuff? You go back and you read all the verses leading down to that. It's just talking about the general Christian life. The things that are available for us, to us, with us. And then they start saying, really what he's saying, and here's how this is applied in a marriage. Or here's how it's applied in a business. It's not asking anything strange and unreasonable. They're just Christian virtues. You've joined together for life as a unit. You're going to start a family. And the Christian virtues that are available to you are available to you. It's not just a bunch of duties. It's a response that a Christian would make. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And on it goes. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But now, also put off these. Now see if this applies to the husband and wife. Put off all these. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. What's a lie? What's lying? What's a lie? Untruth, right? Untruth about time, untruth about where you were, what you're thinking, what your plans are. When you talk about communication, those things aren't in there. Or they shouldn't be. Many times they are in people's communication. Little thing left out that should have been there to give the right color to it. Like they like to call now when politicians talk, something happens, they put a spin on it. That just means they word it in a way, or say it in a way, or maybe even their body language when they're saying it, they give a little spin to it that you're going to hear it and think it's something a little different than what it was. Or they'll spin it this way, and when they're talking about somebody else, they spin it this way and make it work worse than what it was. But when you're dealing with part of yourself, your spouse, we need to be saying it as we truly understand it. Otherwise, you don't have communication. You might have won your point. You might have got your way. You can do it in a congregation or in a family. But God wants truth. And especially, a husband and wife, or brothers and sisters in a congregation, not being up front with each other, not saying what they mean, but wanting to please or displease, that's not going to build anything except antagonism. Follow what I mean? And that your wife will know whether you're doing that. Maybe not be able to pin it down. But there's something about truth and a broken spirit or an honest spirit that people can sense. And when somebody's being slick or sly, you kind of get a sense of it. If you want to be one, we're going to have to be open one with another and accurate. Would that be true in a congregation? I think so too, yeah. What time did I start? 7:15. Okay, that's it. Almost it anyway. Let me ask you, do you really think you need a couple's night? I like them. I like them. I want to have them. But I say, do you really need somebody to stand up here? I guess it does jog our minds sometimes. But really, how about the lawyer or whatever it was, ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment, the first and greatest commandment? And what did Jesus say? Jesus is big-hearted. He said, to to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then, being gracious as he is, he gave them a bonus. And he says, the second is like unto the first. It's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Also, another place he says, whatsoever you would have men do unto you, do ye also unto them. Now, he's not talking about revenge, that somebody did something to you, so you do it back to them. That's not what he's saying. He says, what you would that men do unto you, that do you also unto them. Take husband and wife. You're hungry, you're coming home from work, you had a bad day, and she burned the enchiladas. And you come in, and you can't eat them. Why? How come they're burnt, honey? Honey, that always helps it, right? Honey. And she says, well, the children are having a problem, and I didn't set the timer, and off it goes. Now, before you even start that, you come home. Now, how do you think she feels? Probably not real happy that she burnt the enchiladas. But take it a step further and say, she's coming home from quilting and you burnt the enchiladas. What would you like her to have to do? Well, I'd like her to say, oh, I'm sorry that happened. You know, let me help you clean it up. Hey, honey, you know, I had $10 left over from groceries. Let's go buy a pizza. Do it. That's just as good. You'd want something like that, wouldn't you, men? Or would you just like her to come in and look all sulky and say, boy, I really had my heart set on those enchiladas. You should have been a little more careful with that. You know, I'm not mad, but, you know. You wouldn't want her to do that. And, you know, we could say, what about this situation? What about that situation? We write it down. Write down, well, when that happens, you do this. What happens, you do that. You try to do that, you'd have books like this. You'd have to carry a backpack. Seriously. And all you have to do is take what Christ told his people and go and say, just stop. You don't know what to say? Do this. Just say, if I was there, what would I want this guy to do to me? Problem solved. A brother gets himself in trouble. Well, this is a disappointment, brother. You know, the congregation's reputation is going right downhill the way you're going. But if you were there, what would you want done? It's not that you would want to put undercover, but you'd want some kind of compassion, a feeling, communication, wouldn't you? You don't have to have a big book to go through to look for that. Just for a moment. You don't have to spend an hour trying to meditate on this. All you do is say, oh, she must feel terrible about that. I have a prophet's outlook. When I see something happen, like the milk gets spilled on the floor or the milk, something happens. I hear a bang going down the stairs. What happened here? Who did that? What, you know, how did that happen? Whereas my wife would go up and say, are you okay? Is everything all right? And things are all broken and everything. How are you doing? That does not come naturally to me. I love a verse in the Bible. It's been a big help to me. Still is. And that's the heart of the righteous studieth the answer. And if you know me, sometimes I don't study the answer. I just say things. And all that means is, you don't have to go back in your study and study for an hour how to respond to your wife, but just before you start saying words, just stop. Just, it doesn't have to even be a minute, not even maybe a second. Just, and then go in. That's all you would take as a child of God. But sometimes we open our mouths and then start talking and say, oh, I'm sorry I just said that. I didn't mean it. Well, you did mean it. Yeah, you did. You meant it. That's why it came out that way. That's why the heart of the righteous need to study to answer. The first thing that comes up in my mind and mouth, Maybe I'm exposing too much of myself, but many times the first thing that comes up into my mind and question in my mind is something that maybe later we can address that. But right now the situation calls for something entirely different. And that's to show that you care for that person. We'll handle what they did and how they did it and all that kind of stuff later. But right now, are you okay, brother? Do you follow what I'm saying? So why don't we pray together? Whatever. You see it here. I say, don't write it down now. I'm telling you all the things what we ought to do. I don't know what we ought to do, but I know one thing. We shouldn't be so spiritual or think we're so spiritual that the first thing that comes into our mind in a situation is the thing that should be said or done. Just all it takes is just a moment. Just, what is this situation? Follow what I'm saying? And that's as true for the wife and the husband as it is for all of us sitting here in a congregation. Think about it. And think about the things each one of you probably knows where that didn't take place in a congregation. And sometimes the deep scars that it leaves. You know, we're also called the body, aren't we? We're not called one flesh, but we're called a body. A body. We need to think about each other. And obviously, if we're joined together with another person, it's very important that that other person is healthy, loved, understands you because you want to be understood, and you understand her because you want to understand her. And that we do love, and that love, go back to 1 Corinthians 13, read down through what love looks like. Just ask ourselves. And I need to ask myself, and I don't get off scot-free, believe me. But it is a good tune-up. What it is, what it does, what it looks like, what it smells like, what it says, what it hears. Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And sisters, all I can say is, submit yourselves as the church ought to submit itself to Christ, ought to. And I believe in the last days, there are going to be congregations that are submitting themselves to Christ fully. Well, God bless you. Thank you for having me here. I've enjoyed being with you. I know more faces than I know names. Please forgive me for that. And don't put name tags on because it doesn't help me. I still get embarrassed having to look at them. God bless you.